Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Summer is so sexy. The warm summer breeze caresses your skin, the days are longer, and we're all wearing fewer clothes. So it is the perfect time to ignite the passion in your relationship and really enjoy the increased intimacy that comes with the season. Well, luckily, Promescent, the trusted brand for enhancing intimacy for both him and her, has the perfect solutions to make this summer sizzle. For him, the Promescent Delay Spray is a game changer. You just put a few sprays on your penis before sex and you'll be able to last up to 65% longer in bed. Say goodbye to those premature endings and hello to extended pleasure. It's like a secret weapon to keep the party going all night long. And for her, the Promescent Warming Arousal Gel is the key to unlocking new sensations. It's a paraben and hormone-free formula, and it stimulates blood flow on the clitoris. So you just rub it on a few minutes before sex, and it provides this tingling, buzzing, and warming sensation to her most sensitive areas. And that just leads to more arousal and more intense orgasms. Visit Promescent.com/Emily for 15% off your purchase. You get free shipping, a 60-day money-back guarantee, and discreet delivery. That's Promescent.com/Emily. Promescent.com/Emily for 15% off your purchase. Promescent is your one-stop shop for making this summer unforgettable. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by producer Jamie, and we're talking about ways to have sex without a penis, because hey, it's not all about penetration. Reasons why men say they're still single, what advice to give a friend who constantly complains about their relationship, and where to draw the line when dating people younger than you. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Check out everything going on there. And Jamie is with me, producer Jamie. She knows all about the website because she's in charge.
It is a fun time there. And, you know, of course, we love answering your questions on the show. Emily loves answering questions on the show. However, if you do have a question that needs some, like, you're like, I really want to know, like, right now where my G-spot is, or really want to know how to navigate some prostate play, you can type it into our good old search bar. Oh. And there will be blogs and podcasts with information for y'all.
Right, right. That is a good shortcut to getting what you want. We are an instant gratification society right now, so that makes sense. Good, Jamie. Thank you. Also, you guys, follow us on all social media. It's at Sex with Emily. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and also we are doing a very special survey this month. It's the Alternative August Survey, and we might keep it up for a little bit longer because, okay, to admit it, we got up like a few days late, But the point is, we are loving your responses. We love getting your feedback because it's going to help us understand you, the listener, better so we can create a show that is for you and that helps you even more. We want to know what you're into, about your sex life. We will not share any of the information. You don't need to put in your name.
Right yeah, now. There isn't even a spot for your name.
No, we don't even want to know your name. We just want to know about you, how often you masturbate, what you're into.
Exactly.
And then we'll use it for science. For our science. For our own studies and our own science. So thank you guys for doing that. You can find it. Where can they find it, Jame?
It's at sexwithemily.com/August. Or if they go to the website, they can click on the Alternative August Survey banner.
There you go. You can't miss that when you're on the website. Okay, so Jame and I've got a chock full show here. We're going to do some sex in the news, answer your emails.
It's a good time.
Yeah. We always have a good time. We really do. Love our life. Okay, here we go. About half of women admit to hiding their sex toys from their partners.
No.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, we must discuss state of emergency. So apparently there's still a lot of women who are embarrassed about their secret stash of accessories. New research has found that over half of women still feel too ashamed to tell their partners that they use toys in private. So this is the deal that this made me scream when I was reading it. Like, oh my God, still? Really? I forget that people still believe these things. They haven't listened to the Sex with Emily show yet, apparently. First point is, the reason why women are not sharing the vibrators is because too many women are suppressing their sexual desires over fear they will no longer live up to the exceptions of being a nice girl. Like, their partners are going to judge them and they won't be seen as a nice girl if they have a toy. Like, that makes you somehow not a nice girl. Like, in my mind, I feel like we've come so far that I happen to know from data and firsthand and all the amazing women I surround myself with that your partners appreciate a woman who knows what she wants in bed and knows how to ask for it.
Exactly. This whole, like, nice girl Trump, like, oh, like, she has a vibrator. Oh, what a bitch.
Right.
Like, no, I feel like, yes, there are people out there that do still believe in the negative stigma of women's masturbation and vibrators. However, especially in the last, I want to say, like, 3 years, well, since I've been working here, every person that I have even mentioned to that I have, you know, a multitude of vibrators or that I masturbate, they're like really into it and actually think it's really hot.
Exactly. Oh, the partners you've been with. You're
partners
right, exactly.
I've been with. Or people like, you know, I talk about sex like at the bar and stuff and people are like, they're actually fascinated, but they're like, oh, you know, like I've been thinking about getting one. It's like, if you're thinking about it, do it.
You know, it's like even those girls we were talking to recently, I was a guest at a show and they were like, oh no, I can't. You know, I feel bad if I ask him or talk to him about sex, like he's going to judge me or I'm not. You know, as good. But I'm telling you, I'm not a nice girl. Also, the other point in here that I was like, oh my God, was that women are more likely to keep their solo activities secret because they don't want to make their partners feel inadequate or threatened by the toy. Now, that's been around since the beginning of time, the beginning of vibrators, that your partner is going to be like, it looks too much like a penis. You're spending too much time with if you're with a male partner, or it's going to replace you. You know, and I've said this so many times that, like, you're not going to be replaced by a toy.
Mm-mm.
You got to be like, you probably did a lot more things wrong than you ever got replaced. I'd like to hear from a guy who got replaced from a toy.
No, seriously.
Please email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. If you actually, I'd like to meet the person who got replaced by a toy, because I'm not sure that's ever happened.
Seriously, and unless, like, I mean,
they can't cuddle.
You can't cuddle. You can't, I mean, you can't. Okay.
Well, robot. You gotta stop saying that. You've been saying that forever, but.
But how many people have a sex robot?
Nobody yet.
They're $10,000.
Exactly.
If I have $10,000 just laying around, I'm not going to buy a sex doll. I mean, maybe, hey, if that's your prerogative, I'm not judging you.
Right.
I'm just saying that if I had an extra 10 grand to splurge on something, like, I'm going on a trip. I'm
exactly. not going. Exactly. You're not going to buy a toy. Right. It's, I get it. You're not going to buy the sex robot.
I'm not going to buy Harmony. Sorry.
Well, here's the other thing I want to say about, Harmony the sex doll.
Mm-hmm.
She's been getting around lately. Not in that way, but maybe. She could also get around and sleep with a lot of people. But she's been all over the news.
Yeah, she really sex has. Doll.
I believe that the only men who are actually really threatened still have actually not had a good experience yet with the woman that they love, who they trust, that they're in a relationship with, and they see, like, oh my God, that toy gives her so much pleasure and I get to witness this and it's really hot and it, let's be honest, sometimes can make things a lot easier, you know, that mm-hmm. she's going to have her pleasure. But I feel like that it's men who like hear these things or, oh, no, they're not for me. And I understand that they're going to make you inadequate. It's true. You are there to give pleasure. Men love bringing pleasure to their partners, whether men or women. We all want to give pleasure to our partners. Mm-hmm. So to think that something's going to usurp that or replace you, or like, I understand that fear, because they actually, it's coming from a loving place, also from a fearful place that you could be replaced. But I think that if, God, in this day and age, if you haven't tried it yet and you're with someone who knows she's into her toy, he's into her toy, and they show you that and you see it, you're going to be like, yes, bring him more toys.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone who's experienced it in a healthy way actually is still against it.
Yeah, I agree.
That's my point.
I definitely agree with you there. And I think that men that think that a toy, women using a toy, or anyone, maybe it's another woman that you're with and she's like, no, like my fingers are magic and my tongue is magic, which maybe it is. But I feel like it's usually a guy that's, you know, not down with the toys. My thing is like, so, but if she's only using it for masturbation, are you saying that her masturbation is also replacing you? Because what if she was just using her hands? It's literally the same thing. It's someone else bringing her pleasure. Because if you think about it, it's like men are masturbating without their partners there.
All the time.
So wouldn't that, and I know that some women do feel like, hey, maybe that makes them feel inadequate, but most of the time, no, I don't think so. So it's I think it's a deeper question there. And it's also about if your partner is willing to learn different techniques and things to do to give you that same amount of pleasure, or just, you know, like incorporate. I think you're right when you said they haven't had a good experience incorporating
it. That's what I think. Yeah. Cause I've brought many partner over with like, no, that's weird. And like, oh yeah, can you bring your toy? You're bringing your toys. Like they're into it because they see it's pleasurable for me and for them. Mm-hmm. It's fun for the whole family. Okay. So that's how we feel about that. And if you are curious, but how do I do it? How do I bring a toy into a relationship? We talk about this a lot on the show. And I'm sure if you went to the good old search engine on our website, I believe we even have some posts about the best way to bring up a toy.
It's like sex partner. Google.
It is like sex Google. Google. We should have
Google.
You don't even need a Google for anything now because Google is the Google of everything. Remember, like back in the day, there was like search engines for different things, but now you don't need that.
Remember Ask Jeeves?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Anyway, so, but really, you just want to do it like you just got to tell them, hey, I got this great toy. It'd be fun to use together. Now I'm going to the answer and I ask them to Google it. Because sometimes, like, you know what it is? I think so much about people listening. I'm like, well, what if they're in their car and they want to know now? I feel like I'm teasing them. Like, I should actually tell them if they want to know how to talk to their partner tonight about using a toy. But I'm just going to leave it hanging there. Go to the website.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. We've got it on the site.
We do.
I'm guessing.
There. No, I mean, definitely.
I feel like we've talked about it. Okay, so let's move on to the next news story here.
Which is kind of funny.
It is kind of funny. Well, wait, see, now this sounds like we're some kind of like...
No, okay.
Anarchist here or something. We sound very anti-penis right now if I read this story. Like, we are anti.
Disclaimer.
I live for the penis.
We love
penis. I wish
penis.
There was one here right now. Just for fun.
Seriously.
Yeah, we do.
We love penis, but on the flip side...
You put these in order, James. Do you not like... Would you like to talk about the penis? What has it done for you lately? No, we're happy.
I mean, this morning.
No, she had great morning sex. She's down. Okay. Is that cool?
Yeah.
That I told everyone. Okay. So ways to have sex without a penis because you don't really need one. Before you get upset, we're not saying penises are obsolete.
This is going to be my favorite
Jamie's
show
the producer.
Ever.
She's in charge. She's in trouble. Okay.
Sorry.
Here's
email
the point.
Me.
Email Jamie, you guys. Okay. Well, most people think about sex, their minds likely jump to penis and vagina. This is what sex educators, when I was studying sex, they were like PV sex. That's what we call it. PV sex. That's what we think about it. We think that it's only about penetration, okay? So, makes sense. Our sex ed didn't tell us much differently if you had any sex ed at all. So, the thing is that men have, you know, a lot of men have this picture in their brains that involves a penis and a vagina. But I'm going to tell you this, taking a night off from just having PV sex could inspire creativity in straight couples' sex lives. And that helps to stave off boredom in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. Which we're all about that, because if you haven't heard, newsflash, it's going to happen in your relationship. Every single relationship will have a moment when there's boredom. Mm-hmm. You get bored sitting home on the couch, you get bored at parties and you leave, you get bored at parties, you can leave. Relationships, you can't just leave. So listen, I mean, you can if it's awful, but the point is, don't fight the boredom. It's okay. It's actually telling you, great, you know what? Now is the time when we spice it up. Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't have PV sex tonight. Maybe we do something interesting. So something different. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to give you some tips to how to have sex that's not just your straight old PV sex. And I like these tips because it has to do with oral sex. Put your tongue to work.
Yes.
The orgasm gap, you guys, is real. And there's also an oral sex gap, which is even realer, close to my heart. No, I'm having a lot of oral sex now, but I want everybody to have a lot of oral sex, especially because there was a definitive study that came out, I think it was last year. I love studies that prove everything that we always talk about, and that is that you know how women are more likely to orgasm, like the majority of women, mm-hmm. they all need orals through oral sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then tongues and fingers, and then it wasn't through penis. It wasn't. Not that they don't, and they can't. But there's a shortage of oral sex going around. So
oral sex shortage.
Oral sex shortage. We're more than twice as likely to go down a sexual partner. Oh, here's the other thing. Well, this is going to sound, I shouldn't read this part. No, but it is true. Women are givers. In many cases, we're more than twice as likely to go down on a sexual partner than men. So I'm just saying, give. You got to give what you want to get. So there's 8,000 nerve endings in the clitoris. As we know, a little bit of oral is great.
It really
talk
is.
About it. Let's talk about it. So yeah, use your tongues. Just remember to use your tongue, you guys. You don't need penetration for that. And the more tongue you give the more tongue. Love. Give more tongue.
Also, if you can't find your partner's clit, which it's a thing, sometimes it's hiding, ask. Just be like, hey, can you point it out?
Right. I want to make sure I'm in the right spot here because sure. I really want to please you.
I don't think there's ever will be a woman that enjoys oral sex who's like, no, you need to find it on your own. She'll be like, hell
yeah. That woman's
yeah,
hanging out with a good girl in her closet with her vibrator who's not showing anyone. She's also the woman that won't show you her clitoris.
Exactly.
She's afraid at home huddling with her vibrator. So, and if you're a woman who's like, and I'm telling you, I've said this before, I was that girl who guys were like, if I was having sex with someone, he's like, does that feel good? I'd be like, uh-huh, yeah. Because I didn't know, I knew if I said no or I'm not that it was horrible, but I knew I didn't know how to tell him what I did want. Mm-hmm. I just knew that it was, I would just say yes.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. You would probably never do that.
No, I did that.
James was like, I didn't do that.
No, I did that.
James came out of the womb as an adult, no. apparently.
Yeah. I did that in high school.
Yeah, but we just go, oh yeah, because women are pleasers and I didn't know, but now I know. And so, yeah, ask them.
Yeah, it's like the willingness to sacrifice our pleasure to make things not awkward.
Right.
Is ridiculous. Is it
women? Yeah, I think that women do that a lot.
With everything. Everything. I'm a culprit of it.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. We're pleasers. So anyway, you ask them what they like. Mutual masturbation is a great way to find the clit together, you know. Okay, so also get your fingers in there. Don't forget about your fingers. Fingering just isn't for foreplay when done properly. Plenty of lubrication. Making sure things are warmed up. It can be just as satisfying as other forms of penetration. So you can have blended orgasms. They're amazing.
Anything this is interesting, too. It says if you can also finger your partner if they have a penis. It's called muffing.
I know.
I've never heard of this, but I think that this is great. Two spots tucked behind the scrotum and testicles called inguinal canals. About the diameter.
It's inguinous.
It's my new favorite term. Inguinal. I'm going to put it on a t-shirt. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this to my dude. I'm going to finger his scrotum. See if it feels good.
Yeah, do that. It's your homework assignment. So I think that's, you guys, I'm just reminding you of things here. You already have these with you too. You have to go out and buy anything. You got a tongue, you got fingers.
Exactly.
Kick it old school. So back to, dry humping. Dry humping is real. The reason why we all like dry humping is because, yes, there was buildup, there was the unknown, you hadn't had sex with anyone yet, and we're talking about being fully clothed and rubbing it against your partner. Did you do that in high school? Humping? Was that your thing?
I think I still do that. I don't think you call it dry humping. You know what's the term that I hated the most? Heavy petting.
Oh, my mom used to say that.
I hated that term so much.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? It just sounds like I'm like...
Were you heavy petting in the car?
It sounds like I'm like petting a dog, but just doing it really too rough.
Inappropriately, right. I don't like heavy... Did your mom say heavy petting? Dude, it's bad. I know. It's the friction that you're getting. You're getting the friction.
No,
from the
it actually
rubbing.
Does feel good.
It does feel really
it
good.
It feels
clit.
Really good.
Yeah. And I think it rubs against clit. The clit. The reason why is because, yeah, and also it's the buildup thing that was also exciting about it. Again, it was that buildup, the newness of a relationship, but bring that stuff back.
And it helps to like slow down. Even if you are going to have like regular or P&V sex after, it's like that buildup. You get really aroused. Like, I still like doing it.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I love the buildup. Bring back the buildup. Share your fantasies. You guys, you know I'm a huge fan of sharing fantasies. And if you're just saying like, what's your fantasy? I have this fantasy. These are actually the fantasies that you typically want to share or that you might want to try at some time. Would be great to share because you can actually make those fantasies happen. And if you're not clear on your fantasies or your partners are not clear, I'm a huge fan of reading erotica,
mm-hmm.
watching porn that you both find pleasurable, and getting some incentive. You can even just watch it, and you don't have to watch if you're not into watching porn to like masturbate, but you just want some ideas.
Oh yeah, no,
you
definitely
just kind of browse your porn collection. No one has a collection anymore, but you know, Google porn that you like.
Yeah, I actually, with my ex, I used to, when I wasn't really feeling in the mood for actually having sex, like I would read erotica to him while he masturbated.
Oh, that's
in like a sexy voice, and mm-hmm. he like really enjoyed that. So
I think that's a great thing to do. I used to have a boyfriend that did that. It reminded me, in his bathtub we would read erotica. Yeah, we'd like at night, and then I would get turned on by it too. I love reading when someone reads to me. That's sexy. Okay, also you can experiment with texture and touch. I love this. I love using things around the house with different textures, like a wooden spoon, like a pearl necklace, like a real pearl necklace, not like the
Mardi Gras beads.
No, it could be. No, I meant not the pearl necklace ejaculation hello. On the chest.
Of course.
But then I meant it actually could be Mardi Gras beads, and don't use the pearl necklace because that's nice. I meant so confusing. Yes, the Mardi Gras beads. I meant those weird Mardi Gras beads because you thought it was going to remind you of Mardi Gras, but now they're just sitting around collecting dust. Those you could actually use. So different textures, velvet, you know, material you have laying around a silk shirt.
Yeah. No,
yeah, that's going to be.
Sorry, I was like, I just became like 12 years old for a second. It's like a pearl necklace.
Wait, but that's what I know, but it's true. But I meant, I actually thought that too, not that kind of pearl necklace, but it is like, okay, you guys understand what we're saying. Use something, take a comb and rub it against their back or a piece of cloth between the cleavage area. You guys don't understand. We have so many goddamn nerve endings all over our body that feel so good to be touched that we really don't appreciate them or touch them. We focus on the genitalia mostly. Yeah, things around your home. Use those on the body too. It feels good. These are all things you can do tonight instead of PV sex.
Yeah, and you don't have to spend money. It would actually be fun. Do a scavenger hunt with your partner and be like, what do you think would feel good?
Yeah, make sure.
However, do not insert these items.
No, make sure they're clean.
Clean them and please, don't.
You know what you call these items that you leave that you can use around the house for sex?
Pervertibles.
That's another one of my favorite words too.
You taught me that.
I did. Mm-hmm. I just like the word pervertible. Okay, and finally, we've got the reasons why men said they are still single according to a Reddit thread. So this was a whole thing. This was like a huge news story because it was a huge news story and it shouldn't have been a huge news story. Apparently, this guy in Greece, in Cyprus, he's a professor. He did a Reddit thread and said, why are you still single? Essentially, he asked guys and he said, why are you single? What's the deal? And he got thousands of answers, right? And then he did a post after that and said the top 43 reasons why men remain single. So anyway, there's controversy, like, was this guy legit that he posted all these things and they shouldn't use it for science? But here's my point. The top things that he came up with, I actually think in my own, I'm like a sexual anthropologist, if you will. I've been doing this for a while and I hear everyone's stories and we hear from men every single day. And I thought it was interesting to think about why men think they're still single and then we could discuss it here. He came up with categories and I want to see what you guys think. And I feel like this encapsulates a lot of the reasons why men are single.
I think it would say women would be similar in this situation.
I think so too. That was the other thing. So the number one thing, the most category, these are the popular categories. There's a lot that goes underneath them, is poor looks. So guys think, I'm not attractive. No, I'm too short. I'm not strong enough. I'm too strong. Who knows what guys think?
Yeah. I mean, and I get that too.
But it's all, I think that, again, these are all things that are in our head. I think that there's many.
I think one in the next category, which is low self-esteem and confidence, goes along with the first one, poor looks. Because if you have a lot of self-esteem and a lot of confidence, it really doesn't matter.
No. Like, for women, it's different. I think that for women, I can see that it's hard. It might be more challenging. But I think that we all need the confidence to get out there. In the sense of, I feel like the world is a little more lenient of men who might not be traditionally good looking, but they have a lot of confidence. True. That's what I'm saying. But these, actually, all of them have to do with confidence. So at the end of the day, the most important work you can do is cultivate your self-confidence. And that is not only is that a full-time job, that is a lifelong job.
Well, because if you're walking around feeling low about yourself, that you're not, you know, like, you're like, oh, why would anyone want to date me? I don't think I look good. Like, I don't have anything to offer. If you feel that about yourself, why would someone else just be like, I'll feel like you do have something to offer? Like, you need to put yourself out there. Like, no, I am confident. So people would be like, hey, that guy, he really looks like he loves his life and he's really awesome. So I'm going to talk to him. You know what I mean?
Right. No one's going to, like, the truth is, like, you can't expect, it's really, you can't expect anyone else to love you unless you love yourself. They're probably, even they might, but even people loving you and pouring all this love in you and telling you're awesome, that doesn't even do it. Mm-hmm. So you could look at the people that look like they're the most revered in the world, and if they don't love themselves, doesn't matter how many people tell them that. So it is a inside job, meaning you have to clear up the blocks and things that are holding you back, and go to therapy if you need to go to therapy. Stop drinking if you're numbing yourself. Like, stop hanging out with people that make you feel worse. Like, work on yourself and your skills. And this is, again, a lifelong thing, because the other things on this list is poor looks. That's confident. You believe you have poor looks. Mm-hmm. The second one is low self-esteem and confidence. Number three, low effort. They're just not making effort.
Yeah,
they don't feel like it. They're lazy. They don't want to. Or they're just like, I'm not. I don't know how. Approach confidence. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other one was not interested in relationships. They're just not interested. And I think that's legit. The professor here was like, oh, no, I don't think that's real. I think that men, everyone really wants a relationship. Mm-mm. But I full on believe that there are people who just, they're still single because they're just not interested in a relationship right now. And I think, you guys, that's okay, too. There is the way that our society is set up that, like, we should always be on this perpetual lookout for a relationship. And therefore, you're not complete until you're not. And I'm here to tell you that that is just bullshit.
That's
like
true.
I feel like if you truly are like, because it's hard to do everything. It's hard to be like 100% if you're like going to school or working really hard or you're working on your dreams and who knows, your health, and you got a lot going on. It's okay to not be like, I need a relationship to complete me.
I mean, I usually prefer being single. It's like the first time I've been in a relationship-esque situation in a while.
And you like it.
I like it. That's the thing. It's like, you got to like, if you like yourself, you'll like yourself single and in a relationship. So.
Right, exactly. Wherever you go, there you are. And so those are the things. And my thing is, why do you think you're still single? I just thought this might inspire some people to think about it. And a lot of times we're still single because it's our own selves who are maybe holding ourselves back. Because I believe that when you're in a good place, you're feeling better about yourself. And again, you guys, when I say you're feeling good, there's this notion that we all walk around super happy all the time. And you can feel great about yourself when you get up and you have breakfast in the morning, and on the way to work, something bad happens, and you get to work, and it doesn't have to ruin your day, is the point. No one's day is 100% perfect and happy all day long. It's like, you're more happy than not. At the end of the day, things were great, and they weren't. So happiness can be this elusive, like, we all talk about happiness, but I don't think it's like a 100% thing, but you want to work on getting those numbers up so your days are more happy than not.
I agree.
Okay. All right. Should we give a shout out to our sponsors that we love? We got a lot of cool new sponsors this month. We makes us so happy.
I know. Because I just like trying out new things and like seeing what people are creating, all in the name of pleasure.
Exactly. Okay, so thank you for supporting our sponsors, and we're going to answer your emails. We'll be right back. We are back, and we are going to answer your questions. We love doing that. We love getting all your emails. We love answering them on the show. You can text Ask Emily, all one word, to 797979. Fill out the short form. Put a yes if you'd like to be called for the caller shows. I'm doing a lot more caller shows these days, you guys. I love doing them. I love talking to you. Put that yes. You can change your name. It's cool. You can go to my website, sexwithemily.com. Click Ask Emily. Include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Okay, Jamie, you want to read the first one?
Sure. So this is from Charlotte, 22 in London. Dear Emily and Jamie, she didn't know I was going to be here.
No, she did not. It's a bonus.
I've been listening to your podcast for a few months now, and I love all your tips and advice. I've been dating my boyfriend for about 6 months. He's 24, and our relationship is amazing. Our sex life is great, and we're experimenting with different positions, toys, and role play, and we speak openly about our fantasies and insecurities. I have experienced so many amazing orgasms with this guy, and I'm so, so happy. Shout out to you and your guy. That's amazing. However, my specific question is about being on top while stimulated orally. My boyfriend finds it very sexy when I sit on his face or when I'm on top in 69. I find the idea of this hot as well, and the experience of I've had with it are enjoyable enough, but I can't seem to orgasm in this position. Maybe it has something to do with me having to engage my core or thigh muscles or something else completely. I don't know. All advice on ways to change this up would be amazing. Thank you so much.
Okay, Charlotte, thank you for your question. Okay, this is very specific, very detailed.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing about face sitting. Why face sitting sounds so aggressive, doesn't it? But it's actually a great position.
It is.
Because you can control the depth, the motion, the speed, what you want.
It's being called queening now.
I like that better. So here's the thing. You might not be able to orgasm in it yet. You could try like still sitting on his face, but near a wall so you can lean back against it or hold yourself up with your hands. You could put pillows underneath your knees too and like lift yourself up more.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is a position that you got to get comfortable in. And I think that since it already can be an awkward or a newish position to someone, they're like, I'm here. Is it right? But you might have to like move around and play with it and find a good position. But if that doesn't work, also have him help, you can hold you up so you're not putting too much strain on yourself. Like just because you're sitting there doesn't mean that he can't like bolster you up. And what else, Jame? You could
I think, you know, if you like it's similar to face sitting, but it's not the same thing, is if you're actually standing up and he's kind of kneeling below.
I love that
you.
One. Yes.
Because it's gonna be the same angle for him as if you were sitting on his face, but then you're standing, so you know, you don't have to have that strain. And then it's also just like this really empowering thing, you know?
It is empowering to be standing.
Standing and just mm-hmm. having your dude like just kneeling beneath you.
And also sitting on the edge of bed. Like I feel like people complain about their neck. Like if you're sitting on the edge of bed, like he could pull up a stool. Like he could pull up a chair even. You know what I mean? Like people got to get creative with this. Like it's not like there's one way to sit or have oral, like, to have oral sex performed in you. Like there's the couch. Like if you have a rug out, you know, like make it comfortable for everybody. My best advice for anyone who's about to perform oral sex on a woman is lay back, enjoy yourself. I'm not going anywhere. We've got all night. So make yourself comfortable, settle in, find a good position. So you got this, Charlotte. Okay. This is from Kevin, 31 in New York. Hey, Emily, while having intercourse, my girlfriend will play with her clit to come. If she comes before me, she's completely done, pushes me off. When I ask her about it, she says, I'm just done. I don't want you in me. If I come too fast, she'll stop playing with herself. I'm in a timing game. I've never had a partner like this. Is this normal and how can I get around it? Kevin, 31. Okay, Kevin. Now, normally we would say she comes first. Mm-hmm. I think it's great advice to say, you know, hey, let her come first because typically for women, it takes a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is once a woman's warmed up, she can have multiples. And she just might also be really sensitive after she orgasms, which is also, you know, it's common. There's actually women who are super sensitive who actually, it's hard for them to even receive oral for those women. Typically, they're multi-orgasmic. So it is common that some women are more sensitive.
Yes. He says here that if he comes too fast, she just stops playing with herself. But, like, does that mean, so what if you just kept trying to stimulate her? Like, even though you finish, you can use your mouth, right, you can use your hands.
Exactly.
Like, if she stops, that doesn't mean that, like, you have to stop. Like, it really shouldn't be this timing thing.
Right.
And then maybe, like, she can, you guys can both figure out ways that she can try to orgasm, maybe internally.
Yeah.
You know?
Because if she hasn't done that yet, I think, yeah, exactly. Women stop themselves, but she might be able to have a G-spot orgasm and keep going.
And that could be fun for you guys to, like, try and have that happen.
Right, right, exactly. And then mutual masturbation is awesome. I love it, because then you guys can both finish at your own pace. So I want to say here that she probably just might not have a lot of experience. And I think we often just get stuck in our sexual ways. Like, the first time we orgasm is how we always orgasm, or the same oral sex position. I'm saying they got a little dance here, and they got to just figure out the best way to make sure that they both finish and communicate about it. Tell her you really want to have pleasure and you want her to have pleasure, and what can you guys do?
Yeah, make it fun.
Make it fun, you guys. Sex is fun. Remember that. Okay, Jamie, you want to read the next one?
Yes. So this is from Antoinette. I love that name, by the way.
I know. Is that even real?
Yeah.
I want to meet. Okay, yeah.
Antoinette, 28, in California. Hi, Emily. I've only been listening to the show for a couple months now, but I'm absolutely in love. Great work. My question is actually regarding my best friend. Luckily, I'm in the healthiest relationship I've ever been in, and we're getting married in August. Kudos to you. Her and her boyfriend have been together around 6 years, and she's constantly complaining about it. She's uptight and a perfectionist, while he is very laid back and go with the flow. And she's constantly saying that he's not doing enough in the relationship, and she just needs more. She's also complaining that their sex life is non-existent. They have sex maybe once every 6 months, and she's never had satisfying sex with any partner, even with him. At this point, I've tried to give her as much advice as I can, since I've been in similar situations with past significant others. What else can I do? I've thought about talking with her boyfriend, since I'm close friends with him also, to get his take. But at this point, do I just stop giving advice, or do I continue to try and help her in any way I can? Thank you so much.
Okay, Antoinette, we enjoyed this question, although I think you're a really good friend for emailing about a friend. Like, really, you're like asking for a friend. She really asking for a friend, but this just came to me while we were reading this. I used to have a friend who was very interested always in her friend's relationships and kind of obsessed, but her relationship needed work as well. So, Antoinette, I'm just wondering, I'm just checking in. I know you're in a great relationship. I'm just want you to maybe look, take another look. There might be something going on. That's my hit. But, Antoinette, I'm going to help you here. So, don't talk to the boyfriend.
No.
You never want to. Do not talk to the boyfriend, because your friend is confiding in you. You just, no, don't do that. That will never go well. And the thing that stuck out for me, too, though, is that she's never had satisfying sex ever and never orgasmed in her life with him or any previous partner. No wonder she's not into the sex. No wonder why they're not having sex. And I would have to say that if she is very uptight and a perfectionist in every area of her life, I'm certain that she's probably got some blocks in her body. And I think also the reason a lot of us do not have orgasm, especially women, if we come from a place of we grew up in a stressful environment, we have anxiety, our first thing that goes is we'll shut down our bodies.
It's
and so
true.
She might not know how to breathe properly. She might have anxiety, and she sounds like she's, you know, she's got to release a lot of things to figure out how to get there to orgasm and how to make time to masturbate. So that's really, I think that's a problem with their sexual relationship. And you got to accept it. She's in this relationship. You could also tell her that you know, you love her, but it's really hard if she's not doing anything to change it. That you really support her and you love her, but it's hard to hear your friend continue to talk about the thing without any progress. And I have friends, these are not my best friends, because my best friends, I would say to them, listen, babe, we got to fix this now. Like, what is the plan? But I've also had friends who I see every once in a while or every month, and every time I see them, they're complaining. I have one recently, a woman that I'm very fond of, and I probably have seen her 3 times in the last 3 months. And I'm like, how's it going with the guy? And she's like, not same exact thing she said 3 months ago. And I was like, okay, listen, just so you know, here's feedback. You've been saying the same thing for 3 months and there's been no progress in this. And finally said, if there aren't changes, like, I don't even think it's worth talking about it, because clearly you don't want to change it. I said something like that. Like, if you've nothing else to say about this, like, now I'm getting frustrated. So I think it's okay, like, to reflect back to her that there hasn't been a lot of change, but then that you can't keep hearing it if it's really not going to change.
No, I mean, I completely agree, because I do have actually close friends that are in a situation right now. And one thing that you do have to realize is, yes, maybe she just wants to vent and she may not necessarily be looking for an answer. So if that's the case, you can just tell her, be like, hey, look, like exactly that Emily said, I love you, but this is kind of killing me to hear you talk like this. So if you aren't going to make any changes, please do not share. If that's you, you just have to tell her, be like, look, like, you've been telling me the same things now over the course of the last couple years. And I'm sure you've told her this, but you just need to tell her, be like, you need to talk to your boyfriend in a very, you know, talk to him in a non-judgmental way. Don't, because it seems like your friend, and I don't want to make assumptions here, but it does seem like your friend, if she does talk to her boyfriend, it's not in a healthy way. It doesn't, if she's really uptight and he's going with the flow and she doesn't do enough, it can't be in like
a cycle.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, because it's not going to magically get better on its own. But also just, you know, just say, because it's hard for people to break these cycles. It's been 6 years. And I, like I said, I have a friend in a very, very, very similar situation. And I've gotten to a point where I was like, look, this is what I'm going to tell you. This is what I would do. I'm going to support you either way. I'm just letting you know, mm-hmm. this sounds very unhealthy and I would break up.
Right.
The best thing I think that you can do, maybe too, if you feel like you keep giving her advice and she's not taking it, start sharing really awesome, positive stories from your relationship, past and present. So maybe she'll eventually be like, that's how I want to be treated, or that's the kind of relationship that I want to have. Because then it'll start to click, maybe.
That's exactly it. We learn from other people's stories often. So I think that just telling her, so when I'm talking about her orgasming, I'm telling you this, Antoinette. And first of all, congratulations, and your marriage and your engagement. So you probably are in a really healthy, good place right now. I didn't mean to. I was like, is she really? I don't know. But congratulations on that. And I think it's great to be a mirror to friends, not bragging like we're getting married. And, you know, people, she might not be in a place to hear that. But to share stories rather than like, you know, you really need to orgasm. It's not healthy. You're probably shut down. But tell her like after you masturbate, how good you feel. Or after you have sex and you have an orgasm, what a release it is. Because I think we need an incentive. Like, if someone's like, I just took the bet, like, let's say I don't work out, my friend keeps talking about her spin class and she, how hard it was and she worked out and feels so good. I have no relation to that. But if she's like, oh, I go there and then I feel like I sleep well and I eat less and I crave healthier foods. And now I feel like so much more confident. Like, we want to relate to the benefits. So maybe she needs to know the benefits of having a healthy sex life. Like, actually hear it from you who's in a really good place.
Exactly. Hopefully you can help out your friend.
Yeah, I think you can. And you seem like a really good friend. And, orgasms for all. We all need it. But I get when I had never, it was work when you have never had it. You got to take the time, you got to masturbate, but it's important.
And two, it's like, it just seems like she's got so much resentment towards her boyfriend that it's like, that's another blocker on top of it.
Well, resentments, and when you guys are resentful, that is one of the signs of a negative, a really unhealthy relationship, when there's contempt and resentment. When you're like, my partner never does this and I can't believe, oh, really? Now you take out the trash or whatever it is, like, and you resent them, like you're working late again, like those kind of language you use that's super negative and feels toxic and heavy, it's probably because it is. And that stuff is really hard to clear out on your own. It's like, when, if you really want to, even if you're in a relationship that seems like, well, we're not getting married or it's only been a year, like every relationship can benefit from therapy. And this is something I might not have said, that for many people, if you're working through trauma or you're in a marriage, you might need to step up and be in therapy for 6 months to a year. But if you're in a relationship that you're like, we just got to get through this rough patch, it's okay to go a few times. Therapists can give you tools that you then can take and practice at home. It's just these little communication hacks that could help you break through. And that's what I want for everybody. Okay, the next one is from Andy, 42, in Texas. Hey, Emily, I'm dating a woman who's come out to me as bi. How could I be a bit more supportive boyfriend? Thanks. I love this question from wanting to be a supportive boyfriend. I think let her know that you want to support her and glad she was able to come out to you, and let her know what she needs from you. So I think oftentimes we jump and we're like, oh my God, I want to be supportive and I want to be there. But we just, the most simple question is, how can I best support you right now? What do you need from me right now? But the other thing is, how do you view your relationship commitment-wise? Like, are you okay if she's with other women? Like, how are you, right? Like, mm-hmm. how do you feel about it, Andy? So will it be threesomes? Are you going to watch? Are you guys going to swing? You know, I think that you have to come up with rules, whether or not you want to, and boundaries, to see what kind of relationship, you know, you'd be comfortable moving into. And it might be a little trial and error, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can definitely support her, but then at the same time, even if you want her to explore her feelings for other women, that's great and that's awesome. But also, like, if you're like, I'm glad that you came out to me and that I see that, but like, I still would feel like you hooking up with a woman is cheating. because that's why it's like an interesting line there, because it's like, well, because then too, it's like, okay, well, I'm heterosexual, but then what if I wanted to hook up with another woman because you're doing it? And not like to be spiteful, but just kind of like, well, it's a new person, it's a new thing, so it's great that you want to be supportive of her, and it's just going to be a conversation between the two of you about what you want to do about it.
Good old-fashioned communication works every time.
Yay, Andy. And I love that he's like, they're in their 40s, and I love that.
I love that too. But you love people in their 40s and happy relationships.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. I know that there are people, obviously there's plenty of people out there in happy, healthy relationships that are older. I just feel like there's so many people that still kind of like, oh, like people that have been married forever, like the spark is gone. But it's like, no, you can keep it there. You guys, just, you know.
It does not have to be gone. It doesn't. I'm telling you, like I said earlier in the show, like it constantly, like it's going to get boring. It's going to get challenging, just like everything else in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's totally healthy. That's why we do the show.
Okay. Last one. Do you want to do one more?
Okay.
Yeah. Last one. This is from Jenny.
Okay.
39 in Louisiana.
Okay. You want to read this?
Sure. Hi, Emily. I love listening to your show on long road trips. It makes the time fly. I've been thinking about what question to ask, and it's hard to verbalize. It's more of a concern than a question. I'm 39, never married, no kids. I've had a few long relationships, but most have been very short term. For about 8 years now, I've dated younger men. I didn't set out to do this, but it keeps happening. I don't personally have a problem with it, and I know that if I took someone younger home for the holidays, that my family wouldn't have a problem with it either. But I worry about his family. Would he ever be comfortable taking me home? I'm not sure if I can get past anxiety over what his parents would think, that he's wasting his time, and that I'm taking away all the things he could have in life, relationship, marriage, kids, with someone closer to his age. My other concern is, where should I draw the line? I'm 39 and not getting any younger, but they seem to be staying the same age. By the way, I have nothing against dating men closer to my age. It just never seems to happen. Maybe all the 39-year-old men are also dating young 20s. Thanks for taking the time to listen.
Okay. God. So Jenny, I think I love this, that you're future tripping, as we call it, into this mythical relationship that you're with the guy, and what happens with this, he goes home to see his parents and the parents don't want to meet you and all this stuff. And I just think that there's really nothing to worry about, because you're not even, this isn't even your situation that you're in right now. So I feel like there's a lot of worry in your head around someone you're dating and what's going to happen. Right? Because she's not.
Yeah. Right. I would say, I mean, if he's worried about it,
yeah,
he's worried. But it's not really your concern.
Exactly. So, yeah, you cross that bridge when you come to it. And I have to say that, okay, so you're 30. What do you, I want to know after I read this too, is what do you want? Because I got this sense that there's this concern that it's like, you know, if you're just looking to have sex, right? I'm not going to tell you where to draw the line. Like, have sex with anyone over the age of 21. Mm-hmm. Like, you can do that forever, right? There'll always be guys who are 21 in their 20s. But if you're actually looking for a relationship with somebody that's, you know, pretty, like, that you can have conversations with and share life with and stuff, I think that probably a little better to go, like, early 30s, late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say 10 years. There was a study that came out that said the gap, like the most healthiest gap was 10, I think is that 10 years and younger, 11 years and younger.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a scientific study that showed anything over that. And I believe it, maybe it was 12. I'm going to say maybe it was between 10 and 12 years and younger is the healthiest gap. Because over that, and I know there's a million examples of relationships that are 20-year distance that works.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say too, like if you're looking for someone that you want to, I don't know if you're looking to have kids right now, or maybe you're not, but like you got to be thinking about those things. But if you really want a life where you just have a good partner, you guys can live together, travel together, work and play, like those are the kind of things you want to put out there. So just think about what you really want for yourself, but not so much, I'm not at all concerned what they think about their families, even what your friends think. Because if you're committed to the kind of person that you want to be with, I have no concern with that. So mm-hmm. they get to make their own decisions. If they're like, I wouldn't want to bring home to the family, you'll deal with that later. Yeah.
And also, I do want to make a comment here that I just love the fact she's like, I'm 39 and not getting any younger, but they seem to be staying the same age. Because one, you know, you go, girl, you do your thing. But two, it just brought me back to one of my favorite movies, Dazed and Confused, when Matthew McConaughey is just like, these high school girls, I keep getting older and they stay the same age.
So true.
It just made that's me
exactly
think of that.
The first time I heard that. Yeah.
Except he's being a predator and you are not, because you're, you are dating people of consenting age.
Exactly. Right. They have to be consenting. And you're saying that
it just reminds me of that
movie
line
ever. And he was like he was like a true celeb crush I had. I don't really have one. People like, who's your celebrity crush? But I forgot. I love Matthew McConaughey. Just so you know, people.
And if he's listening.
If he's listening. He's like married and happy and shirtless somewhere like in Hawaii. And you're saying maybe all 39-year-old men are also dating your 20s. I'm not concerned with that either.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. I want to know what truly feels good in your heart.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, that's what I'm saying. If a guy is bringing, or any partner ever, is bringing you home to meet the family, he wants you to be there.
He wants you there. He wants you there. Exactly. And just like if someone's having sex with you, that's just another point I'm going to leave you with. They want to please you. They might not be acting like it. They might not be doing things that are weird. But pretty much at the end of the day, if someone's not pleasing you, it's probably because A, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to. Mm-hmm. They think they are and they're not. Or they're so nervous they rush through it and that's why everything ends quickly. But I have to say, but if they don't, if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. and you're like, nope, I tried all that. They really don't care. They roll over and order Postmates. Then they're just an asshole.
They're an asshole. Those and you shouldn't men and for be women. With them.
Don't be with that person. So that's what we got for you. This was fun, Jamie. Thank you so much.
Yes, I love so I love good. When you let me come on. It's great.
I love when you come on. Okay, everyone. I hope you're having an awesome, spicy, hot summer. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please check out our survey. It'll take you like 5 minutes. And it's funny because we just put it out and people are like, thank you. I enjoyed the survey because I think it'll get you to think too. Like, I've been wanting to try handcuffs. Like, I think it'll give you a reminder of maybe some things that you've been open to in your relationship. Thank you for doing that. And thank you, everyone, for listening and telling friends about the show, sharing the podcast, sharing the love. We so appreciate it. You can also fill out reviews on iTunes. That also helps. It helps when you subscribe, and it also helps when you write a good review. If you want to write a bad review, I'm cool with that too. But hey, I'm more incentivized to tell you about to write a good review. That's all I got. Okay, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to Ken, Sarah, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.